I wonder what your dream job was, or perhaps is. Maybe you still have a dream about a vocation, something that you would wish to do with your life. Don't know whether, if you're a bit older, it's panned out quite like you hoped it would do. I had a dream job when I was a boy, and this week I have been able to do it. In a small sense. I always wanted to be a sheep farmer. That was what I wanted to do as a child. I think it was something of a destiny. I was given a little soft toy lamb, even as a baby, by my auntie, and I guess that every child has a soft toy or a blanket that they hold on to, and mine was a little lamb. It's a scrap of material, really, now. It's nothing to look at. But that is what I wanted to do. My uncle had a farm down on the Somerset Levels, and he had four daughters, and my little hope as a boy was always that, because there were no sons, he might decide it would be good to give it to me. It was never going to happen, but I always enjoyed the opportunity to go down onto Uncle Alan's farm, and that's what I wanted to do. Well, as I said, this past week, I've actually been able to do it. In a small little sense, my friend has gone on holiday and he has a small holding, and I've been looking after his pigs and his chickens and his sheep. And so I do need to get away before it gets dark, because I've got to put them all to bed after this evening service, and hope they're all there and they've behaved themselves today. So that was my dream job. Well, here in John chapter 10, this is the calling and vocation given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite amazingly, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a shepherd. He cares for the sheep. And it obviously was amazing, because the crowd, we're told in verse 6, didn't understand what he was talking about. To be a shepherd was a lowly position. It wasn't the sort of thing that they expected one of their preachers or teachers to be talking about. Some of them thought he was mad. You might think it's a bit mad going to church and hearing about sheep this evening. It's not what you expected, perhaps, to hear about. But they didn't understand. And there's a danger that we might not understand what this is all about either this evening. Might not understand this illustration and picture that Jesus uses, and so I hope to spend our time this evening thinking on what it was that Jesus was intending that we understand. But we also may not understand, because we're somewhat removed from the situation of Palestine 2,000 years ago, when shepherding was a bit of a different business from what we do here in the West. The sheep that I'm looking after this week, they're left out in the open. I only have spent 2 hours a day with them. And the rest of the time, they're fending for themselves. And when I say I've spent 2 hours, I mean an hour in the morning, I go and feed the animals and I'm there. And an hour in the evening, I go and feed the animals and I'm there. They're not getting a lot of attention. They're left in the field to their own devices. But in Palestine in the first century and before, the shepherd lived with his sheep. He didn't leave his sheep. He lived with his sheep. They were his family. And in first century Palestine, the sheep weren't separated out into their fields. So there's 11 sheep over in Little Mill that I'm responsible for. There's 6 more sheep in the next field, and they're separated by a fence. But the sheep in first century Palestine were all brought together. They were mixed. And so, you know the picture of the sheep and the picture of the goats. Well, in this world, people are mixed. We as God's people are mixed with those in the world. Here in our country, our sheep are driven. So it's very handy for me that I've got my 3 sheep dogs here with me this evening, and when we go to round up the sheep afterwards, then they can do the running. And the chap in the field next door does have two dogs he brings along in the morning, and they do a very effective job. Not that I'm disappointed with the work. I don't want them to go on strike. But sheep in our country are driven. But sheep in Palestine were led. They followed the shepherd. Why? Because they knew his voice. My friend's daughter Emily said to me, when you want them to come in at night, you have to shout something like this. And I need to try and do this in a 16-year-old's high-pitched voice, which is quite difficult. But just go, sheepy sheep. And if you do that, then they'll come. Let me tell you, it doesn't work. Maybe I haven't perfected it yet. But it's a very different business from what we are aware of in this country. A farmer in this country, daytime, they'll go about their business, and then at night they sit by their fireside. I'm sure that they work long hours, but at the end of the day they go to the farmhouse and they relax. No such business for a first century Palestinian shepherd. He lives with his sheep, night and day. He is the door. He's there to protect them. He's there to provide the pasture by day. That's why we have that saying, isn't it? Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Because they would spend the day outside and the night outside with their sheep. It was a lowly calling. So, who in the family of Jesse got the job of being shepherd? The youngest boy, David, who was a nobody, because it was a lowly calling. But it was also a calling that required love and commitment. It was a costly calling. It was a dangerous calling. And we know that from the life of David, don't we? Because he recounts the things that he'd had to do to look after his sheep. Perhaps even the danger of laying down his life for his sheep. This evening, I will not spend the evening in the field with the sheep. They will have to fend for themselves. So we need to understand that there are some differences between what we comprehend of our sheep in the pen and our farmers in their nice, warm, cozy farmhouses from the reality of what Jesus was saying when he said, I am a shepherd, I am your shepherd, I am the good shepherd. You see, there was a threat. That's one of the first things we notice in the opening five or so verses that are detailed here for us by John. The sheep are under threat. We are under threat. Indeed, without God in this world, we would have no hope. And Jesus talks about seeing the people of Israel as sheep without a shepherd, and his concern for them. There are many threats. Threats of thieves and robbers. Threats of those who will come in and steal away the sheep. There are threats also of those who will steal away the souls of human beings from their God. And even the danger that we ourselves could be stolen away. And so we hear of a sheep in wolves' clothing. There are dangers that we may be deceived. Jesus says that others had come beforehand who were not true shepherds. And we need to be aware. We need to know. We need to know our God. We need to know his character. We need to know his voice. There's the danger of a hired hand. There's the danger of one who's not committed to looking after the sheep. The reality is there's nobody able to look after the sheep other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In this great picture and this great work, there is no other. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus's I am statements, like the ones we have here, are exclusive statements. He is saying there is no other way. I alone am the good shepherd. He is the only hope for our souls. There are others who say they provide protection. There are other religions. There are other hopes that people put their trust in. Maybe we have put our hopes in something else, if we're honest this evening. But it is something that will flee away. It is a hired hand that will desert in the hour of need. That's why we need to pray in the things that we see in our world at this time, which will be troubling the people who we rub shoulders with. We need to pray that they will see that the things in which they have their hope are insecure. The things in which they have their hope can be lost. There is only one shepherd of the sheep. There is only one way in which to be protected, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message that we have to proclaim. This is how Jesus was revealing himself here, not just to the people he spoke to at this time, but something to be recorded and then to take out and proclaim to all nations. So who are you looking to? Who is shepherding your life? Because you're being shepherded by somebody or something. Something is leading you to look at the picture of this first century shepherd. We are all following something or somebody. There is only one who we can follow where we will be brought to safety. Then Jesus goes on to say, I am the door of the sheep. That is the place of safety. We need to enter in by the place that he has provided. Through him is the only way that we can be safe. Let me flesh out something more of Jesus and what he says of himself as the good shepherd. He lives with his sheep. Okay, that is what Jesus has done. He stepped down into this world and he lived as one of us. That's the uniqueness of the gospel message. That our God has stepped down to live with us. Not that we have to attain and step up to him, but he has done everything to come down to our level. He has taken the lowly position. Just as the work of a shepherd was a lowly calling, he has taken that lowliest of callings to come to live with us. He has chosen to come and live with us. He has chosen to come and lead us. He does not drive us, but he leads us. He calls us that we may follow him. He is gentle with his sheep. Isaiah 40 talks about the gentleness of the shepherd that is to come. The shepherd like David, he is gentle with us. He provides us with the pasture and the protection. He gives us the food of his word. He gives us the protection of the truths which we can rely on here in this book. He cares for our needs. He feeds us. He deals with our diseases and our sicknesses. He was willing to step down in order to exalt us, to lift us up with himself. Why? Because of his love. The true shepherd loves his sheep. There has never been love seen like the love of Jesus for us, his people. There has never been love seen like the love of God the Father in sending his Son to take up this lowly position, to bring back wandering sheep like you and me, sinners, to draw us to himself. Sometimes somebody will lay down their life for an animal. Sometimes you hear a story of somebody trying to rescue a dog of theirs that's got into trouble. I heard on the radio this week, I think it was a South African man in Ukraine who could have got out, but he's chosen to stay because he has four dogs. And he's chosen to stay to look after his animals. And we might think he's crazy, but he has a love for those animals, which causes him to stay to look after them. It does seem a staggering thing. But this is more staggering, what we're talking about this evening. That God should step down to be a human being, to live amongst us in order to rescue us. That gentleman, that South African gentleman, is putting himself in danger to look after his dogs. The Lord Jesus Christ did more than that. He knew not only he was putting himself in danger, he knew that he came to lay down his life. This chapter is before Jesus dies, but again and again and again and again and again in this chapter, at least five times, he talks about how he has come to lay down his life. This was the purpose of the Good Shepherd, because this was the only way in order to rescue the sheep. Because of his love for those sheep. I'm sure each one of us has people we love. We perhaps have children. We perhaps have elderly relatives. And we do all that we can. But ultimately, we lack the power and the resources and the time and the knowledge to do these things perfectly. And we have concerns because we can't do all that we would. But the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not limited. He is not limited in any sense. He does not lack power. He does not lack resource. He does not lack time. He does not lack knowledge in order to look after his sheep. And he knew what he was letting himself in for. Maybe that gentleman in Ukraine might come to wonder whether he's made the right decision. I'm not making any judgment on that. I'm just saying that he doesn't know what's going to transpire. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what was going to occur. And he chose that path. He was committed to it. In Psalm 121, we're told about how the Lord does not slumber or sleep. We do not have a good shepherd who will fall asleep on the job. He will always watch over us. He will protect us. And he has all power to keep us safe. Whatever thieves or robbers may come and attack, he will care for us. He will never entrust his sheep to a hired hand. But he will ensure that all of his sheep are kept. And even if one wanders away, we know that he will go to find and recover the wandering sheep. He has protected us. I looked at sheep being stolen in this country, because it does happen, sheep rustlers. And I found quite a funny story of a farmer, I think it was down in the West Country, I think it might have been Devon. He had got so fed up with his sheep being stolen, he dyed all his sheep. Every single one of his sheep was yellow. He dyed their entire coat and body so that they were yellow, so they could be identified as his, and nobody could steal them. They would be traced. The Lord Jesus Christ has put his deposit in us of his Spirit. He has put God in us. We are secure. We cannot be stolen out of his hand. If the devil comes against us, then he has protected us. He says, I am the door. In contemporary terms, we would say, I am the bodyguard. I don't suppose any of us have got or had a bodyguard, that sort of protection at any point. But important people have a bodyguard for their security. You are an important person. Maybe not in the eyes of the world, but if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are an important person in the eyes of the greatest security company in the world. God has given you a bodyguard. He has given you his own son. And we are protected. If we enter in by the door, if we enter in by the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are protected. We are saved. We are secure. Our eternity is certain if we are trusted in him. And he will provide for us. And he says he provides this life to the full. Verse 10, that they may have life more abundantly. This is life. Some sheep may go and choose to live their own way. Foolish. When such a shepherd will care for us. Maybe this evening you don't know for sure that you're in this flock. Well, let me tell you that you can know that you are in this flock, that you are safe and secure. Because Jesus reveals to us the marks on his sheep. A farmer will mark his sheep. A farmer knows his sheep. Even in the space of a week, with the 11 sheep I've been looking after, I've got to know a few of them. One of them was a triplet, and my friend's family obviously bottle-fed him. And so he is very tame. And he's called Lazarus. Lazzy. So I assume there's some sort of story there about the background. But he is incredibly tame. He's the one that will come. He will eat out of your hand. He knows. He has a confidence with human beings. How do you know that you're one of God's sheep? You know him. You hear his voice, firstly. We're told in verse 3 and verse 16. My sheep hear his voice. Hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of Jesus? As I'm speaking this evening, you're not hearing me so much as you're hearing your Savior. You're hearing Jesus Christ. It's resonating in your ear and in your mind and in your heart that yes, this is your Savior. And you are praising God that he has given you his Son. But not only do you hear his voice, you follow him. Verse 4. The sheep follow him. So you are following after the things that he says. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is heard in this book, and it's heard as it's preached and explained, and you're following it. You're doing what it says. This is how we can know that we are his sheep, because we hear him and we follow what he says. And we know him. Verse 4. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. There is a relationship. You know Jesus Christ. You know his voice. You know that he is yours. So I'm still to perfect sheepy sheep. But when you hear the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear, you follow, you know. There's something that testifies with you that the things that you hear are true and you trust them. And so you follow. I read a little book. It was very helpful, actually. There's a helpful little book about the life of a shepherd in Palestine and explaining the stories that we have in the Bible, because this picture is used all through the Bible. And it tells the story of some tourists who went to Israel, and they'd been told all about the fact that sheep here will follow the shepherd and the differences that we've considered this evening. And then one day they went out and they saw some sheep being driven. And some of them thought, well, this is not what you've told us, tour guide. And so they challenged the tour guide. They said, look, you told us that the sheep always follow. But here we see that the sheep are being driven. And then the tour guide explained something to them. That's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. We know his voice. He leads us out. He leads us along to the pasture. We follow after him. Are you one of his sheep? Are you following him? There are some enormous farms in the world. Australia has some of the greatest farms. They certainly outnumber my friends 11 sheep, or not hundreds, but thousands of sheep in these flocks. But what does Jesus say in verse 16? And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I don't know what the biggest farm is on planet Earth, but Jesus says, I'm going to dwarf it. I am going to make the most incredible flock, a flock like you have never imagined, not just the lost sheep of Israel, but sheep from every nation. I am going to make a mega flock. It's the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would invite you to join, and he would invite the people of New Inn and Torvine and Newport and Wales to come and to join his flock. He is not limited. The bounds of his pen are not small. He welcomes, he invites, and he entrusts to us to do his work. He would have us to embody the character of the Good Shepherd. He would have us to bring other sheep into the fold. It is a privilege that he has given to us, that he would have others to come and follow. Last time I was here, I was speaking about Enoch, you may remember, and how he walked with God. And then came a day where the Lord said to him, today you will come home to be with me. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for all his sheep, and that is the invitation we have to extend to others. It's a pilgrim life to be a sheep, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are on a journey. We are going to a destiny. There is a destination end to which the Lord Jesus Christ will lead all of his sheep, to take them home, to take them into a perfect pasture, to take them into a wonderful future, to take them into a place where there will no longer be those trials. We sang based from Psalm 23, didn't we? And we know the words well. Walking through death's dark vale, the rod and the staff that comfort us. The last verse, this is a verse of scripture, isn't it? Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Is this your hope? It's the only hope. It's the only hope for the world outdoors. May God help us to live it and to share it. Well, we're going to